We present The Big Sleep by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison. With Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe and Robert Beatty as General Sternwood. The Big Sleep. California, 1939.
Will you wait a moment, please?
Sure.
It was 11 o'clock in the morning in mid-October, with the sun not shining and a look of rain. I was standing in the hallway of the Sternwood place. Over the entrance doors, which would have let in a troop of elephants, there was a stained glass panel showing a knight in dark armor rescuing a lady who was tied to a tree. She had no clothes on, but she had some very long and convenient hair. He was fiddling with her knots and not getting anywhere. If I lived in this house, I would sooner or later have to climb up there and help him. He didn't seem to be really trying. I waited for the butler to come back. I was wearing my powder blue suit with dark blue shirt, tie and display handkerchief, black brogues, and black wool socks with dark blue clocks on them. I was neat, clean, shaved, and sober. I was everything a well-dressed private detective ought to be. I was calling on $4 million.
My, you are tall, aren't you?
I didn't mean to be.
Handsome, too. And I bet you know it. What's your name?
Riley. Doghouse Riley.
What are you, a prize fighter?
Not exactly. I'm a sleuth.
You're making fun of me.
Uh-huh.
What?
You heard me.
You're just a big tease. You're awfully tall. Nice.
What if I hadn't caught you?
You always would. You're cute. I'm cute, too.
General Sternwood will see you now in the conservatory.
Excuse me.
Any time. Bye.
Who is that?
The General's younger daughter, Miss Carmen, sir.
You ought to wean her. She looks old enough. I'll lead on.
General, this is Mr. Philip Marlowe.
How do you like your brandy, sir?
Any way at all.
Bring brandy.
Yes, sir.
Sit down. You may take your coat off. It's too hot in here for a man with blood in his veins. You are looking at a very dull survival of a rather gaudy life. A cripple in a chair. There's very little I can eat, and my sleep is so close to waking that it's hardly worth the name. I seem to exist largely on heat, like a newborn spider. And these orchids are an excuse for the heat. You like orchids?
Not particularly.
Huh. You may smoke. I like the smell of tobacco. I have to indulge my vices by proxy.
I'll blow it around.
Orchids are nasty things. Their flesh is too much like the flesh of men. Brandy. I'll watch you drink it.
Thanks.
Tell me about yourself, Mr. Marlowe. I suppose I have the right to ask.
Sure. Well, there's not much to tell. I'm 33 years old, went to college once, and can still speak English if there's any demand for it. I worked for the district attorney as an investigator once, which is how you reached me. I'm unmarried because I don't like policemen's wives.
You didn't like working for the district attorney?
I was fired.
Huh.
I test very high on insubordination, General.
I'm glad to hear it. Always did myself. What do you know about my family?
I'm told you are a widower with a couple of daughters still in the dangerous 20s. One was married three times, the last to an ex-bootlegger named of Rusty Regan. That's all.
Did any of this strike you as peculiar?
I always got along with bootleggers myself.
I'm very fond of Rusty. He was the breath of life to me while he lasted. He used to spend hours here, sweating like a pig, drinking brandy by the quart, telling stories of his time in the Irish Revolution. Ridiculous marriage, of course. He went away a month ago without a word. Meantime, I'm being blackmailed again. I would have been sorry for anyone who tried that while Rusty was around.
You said again.
Yes, about 10 months ago, I paid a man named Joe Brody $5,000 to let my younger daughter, Carmen, alone. Now, look in this envelope. This is the new demand.
Oh, three promissory notes for $1,000 each, signed by Carmen, to Arthur Gwynn Geiger. I see he deals in rare books. And he admits they're gambling debts, but wants you to honor them. Who is this Geiger?
I haven't the faintest idea.
What does Carmen say?
If I asked her, she'd only suck her thumb.
General, do I have to be polite, or can I just be natural?
I haven't noticed that you suffer from many inhibitions.
Do the two girls run around together?
I think not. I think they go their separate and slightly divergent roads to perdition. Carmen is a child who likes to pull the wings off flies. Vivian is smart. Neither has the moral sense of a cat. Nor have I, for that matter. I presume they have all the usual vices. I need not add that a man who indulges in parenthood for the first time at the age of 54 deserves all he gets. Your conclusions?
I'd pay.
Why?
It's a question of a little money against a lot of annoyance.
I have pride, sir.
Well, I can take this Geiger off your back if that's what you want. It may cost a little, and it won't get you anything. There's more behind this. You're on their list.
A moment ago, you said pay. But now you say it won't get me anything.
Do your daughters have money of their own?
No, sir. Carmen is still a minor. I give them generous allowances.
Then this sort of thing will happen again. It might be easier to stand for a certain amount of squeeze.
I'm a rather impatient man, Mr. Marlowe. What are your charges?
I get 25 a day in expenses when I'm lucky.
It seems reasonable enough for removing morbid growths.
Can I make a deal with this Geiger if he turns out within hooting distance of being on the level?
The matter is now in your hands.
Well, I'll take him out. He'll think a bridge fell on him.
I'm sure you will. And now, excuse me. I'm tired.
I left him among his orchids, which had stalks like the newly washed fingers of dead men. The butler told me Vivian, Mrs. Rusty Regan, wanted to see me. When I saw her, I wanted to see more of her. She was tall, rangy, black-haired, black-eyed. She was trouble. Her knees were dimpled, not sharp. She laid out the melodic line of her legs on the couch for me to stare at. I stared.
So, you're a private detective. I didn't know they existed outside of cheap books.
I do.
How did you like Dad?
I liked him.
He liked Rusty. I suppose you know who Rusty is.
Uh-huh.
Rusty was Irish, earthy and vulgar at times, but he was very real, and he was a lot of fun for Dad. Rusty shouldn't have gone off like that. Dad feels very badly about it, although he won't say so. Or did he?
He said something about it.
You're not much of a gusher, are you, Mr. Morrow? But he wants to find Rusty, doesn't he?
Yes and no.
It's hardly an answer. Do you think you can find him?
Why not try the Missing Persons Bureau?
Dad wouldn't hear of the police being brought in. How will you go about finding him?
How and when did he skip out?
Didn't Dad tell you?
You tell me.
I don't see what there is to be cagey about. And I don't like your manners, Marlowe.
Well, I'm not crazy about yours, Mrs. Regan. I didn't ask to see you. You sent for me. I don't mind you ritzing me or drinking your lunch out of a scotch bottle. I don't mind you showing me your legs. It's a pleasure to make their acquaintance. I don't mind if you don't like my manners. As a matter of fact, I grieve over them during the long winter evenings, but don't waste your time trying to cross-examine me.
People don't talk to me like that. I ought to throw a Buick at you.
Just what exactly is it you're afraid of, Mrs. Regan?
God, I loathe masterful men. I simply loathe them. Dad didn't want you about that, about Rusty going off, did he?
When did Regan go?
A month ago, one afternoon, we just drove away without saying a word. They found the car in a private garage somewhere.
Who's they?
Ah, so Dad didn't tell you.
The general told me about Mr. Regan, but that wasn't what he wanted to see me about. Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
I'm sure I don't care what you say.
Then I'll be running along. I have a date with a bookshop.
Don't try to kid me. You can read, Marlowe.
I did a little research into rare books in the public library, then walked into Geiger's store onto a thick blue rug that paved the floor from wall to wall. The blonde behind the desk got up slowly and swayed towards me in a tight black dress that didn't reflect any light. She walked with a certain something I hadn't often seen in bookstores. It was time to act.
Can I help you?
Say, would you happen to have a Ben-Hur of 1860?
A first edition?
Third. The one with the erratum on page 116.
Oh, I'm afraid not. Not at the moment.
How about a Chevalier Audubon 1840? The full set, of course.
Well, you do deal
in rare books.
Well, what do you think is on the shelves? Grapefruit?
Oh, that sort of thing hardly interests me. They're just the usual vulgarity.
Oh, well, Mr. Geiger is not in at the moment.
Might he be in later?
Not till very late.
Oh, too bad. Well, I'll just sit down and wait in one of these charming chairs. I have rather a blank afternoon. Nothing to think about but my trigonometry lesson.
What? Yeah, yes. Can I help you, sir? Yes. Will you wait just a moment, sir, and Carl will attend to you. Carl!
Yes? Oh, I see you want to exchange something, sir. Something more to your satisfaction. Would you like to step into the back room, sir? Not everything we have in stock is on show here.
Is that so?
Are you an established customer, sir?
Well, what do you have to do to get established?
Oh, Agnes can deal with you. Just go ahead, sir. In the back here, sir.
When the customer came out of the back room, he had a new parcel. I followed him and took it off him. He didn't object. I opened it. It was just what I expected. Filth. In and out dates stamped in the front. A book rented from a lending library of elaborate smut. It seemed set to rain all day. I bought myself a pint of whiskey just to keep me warm and interested, and sat in my heap and watched the very nice cars stop and the nice-looking people go into Geiger's. They were not all men. A racket like that, out in the open, on the boulevard, seemed to mean plenty of protection. A lady in another bookstore had given me a description of Geiger. It seemed he looked like Charlie Chan with a glass eye. He wasn't too hard to recognize when he came out. He said an affectionate farewell to his boyfriend, Carl, and drove to his home on Laurel Canyon Drive. I followed him and sat, drinking my whiskey and waiting. Pretty soon, he had a visitor. It was Carmen Sternwood. She stayed there a long time. It seemed like a nice, quiet neighborhood to have bad habits in. I got to the house as quick as I could, but I wasn't quick enough.
Carmen. Carmen, what happened? What have you been drinking? Ether? What dope is it, Carmen? Laudanum? The modeling session is over. Somebody shot your fag photographer. Mr. Geiger is very dead. Let's look at the camera. No plate. That's not a development I like. Carmen, who did it? Carmen! 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 Carmen. Let's be nice. Let's put something on beside your earrings. Let's take a little walk. Carmen, I've seen naked girls before. You all have them in the same place. Now, come on, get up. All I want to do is wrap you in your coat. Don't be cute. I'll take a nice little walk. You're going home.
I took her there in her car and left her with her maid. Then I walked back, past lighted windows in big gables, like witch houses in a forest. On a night like that, you could grow a beard waiting for a taxi, and taxi drivers remember. The body was gone. I could see two grooves on the rug by the door. Whoever dragged them out, it meant business. Dead men are heavier than broken hearts. It wasn't the law. They would have still been there. And it wasn't the killer. He had left too fast. But it gave me time to find out if I could tell the story, leaving Carmen out. I looked around. Both bedrooms were empty. I found a blue book with a list. I took it home and drank too much trying to crack the code Geiger had used for his rich clients.
Yeah?
How's the boy?
Oh, I got a hangover, Bernie.
Tut, tut. Done any little jobs for General Sternwood yet?
Now, why would the DA's chief investigator wish to know that?
Because a big Buick registered to him is washing about in the surf off Lido Fish Pier.
Just the car?
There's a guy inside it.
Is it Rusty Regan?
What would he be doing down there?
Quit stalling, Bernie.
To tell the truth, I don't know, pal. I'm dropping down to Luke C. Do you want to go along?
Yeah.
Then snap it up.
Know him?
It's not Regan.
Why your interest in him? What made him skip out?
Habit.
When a guy out of the liquor traffic marries a rich and pretty dame, and then waves goodbye to her and 2 million legitimate bucks, that makes even me think.
I'm not looking for Regan.
Uh-huh. Well, it looks like this kid was sapped on the side of the head, then somebody pointed the car down the pier. About 10 last night. They can tell by the way the tide moved him. No witnesses? Hardly worth the ride down.
He's Sternwood's chauffeur. Uh-huh. Do they know about it?
Not yet.
I'll talk to the older daughter. Leave the old man out of it if you can. He has enough troubles and he's sick.
I'll try. But this will give the paper something. They haven't had a killing for days.
What the... Oh, what do you want?
Hi. Is Mr. Geiger in today?
I'm afraid not.
Listen, that was just a stall about the first editions. I have to be careful. I have something he'll want very much.
Salesman. Oh, look, you might come back tomorrow.
Oh, drop the veil. I'm in the business, too.
Yeah, but I...
Is he sick? I could go up to the house. I haven't got forever.
No. He's out of town. Look, can't you come back tomorrow?
Well, if you say so.
Sorry, no one is allowed in the back room.
Well, it looks to me as if you're moving out of here.
Just old stock.
All of it?
Goodbye, mister.
The books were being moved, all right. I followed the truck which delivered to an apartment block, apartment 405. Occupier? A Mr. Joseph Brody, recipient those months ago of 5,000 of the General's Greenest. I went back to my office. I had a reception room which I always left unlocked in case I had a client and the client cared to sit and wait. I had a client. The client had dimpled knees.
Well, Marlowe, so you do get up. I was beginning to think perhaps you worked in bed like Marcel Proust.
Who's he?
A French writer who was a connoisseur of degenerates.
Oh, I wouldn't know him.
You don't put up much of a front.
You can't make much money at this trade if you're honest. If you have a front, you're making money, or expect to.
Are you honest?
Painfully.
How did you ever get into this slimy business, then?
How did you come to marry a bootlegger?
Let's not start quarreling again. I've been trying to get you on the phone all morning.
About your chauffeur.
So, you know about him.
Did you use the Buick last night?
No, I was playing the tables at Eddie Marr's club at Las Olindas. He had no permission to take the car. Poor kid. He was in love with Carmen. You don't get much of that in our circle.
And she played him along?
Oh, that was long ago.
Anything else about him?
He had a police record. He didn't know the right people. That's all a police record means in this rotten, crime-ridden country. Now, I didn't come to talk about him. Can you tell me yet what my father wanted to see you about?
Not without his permission.
Was it about Carmen?
I can't even say that.
Take a look at this photograph. I got it by messenger this morning.
Carmen looks a little doped.
They want $5,000 for the negative, or they give the stuff to a scandal sheet.
They?
I don't know. Some woman telephoned me after this was delivered.
There's nothing in the scandal sheet angle. The law would protect you. What else?
Does there have to be something else?
Yes.
Well, she said there was a police jam connected. I don't know what kind.
Where is Carmen now?
At home, in bed. Her maid says she was sick last night. I was out losing my shirt at a roulette wheel.
You would like roulette.
All the Sternwoods like losing games. Like roulette, or marrying men who walk out on them, or riding steeplechasers at 58 years old and being rolled on and crippled for life.
What was the chauffeur doing last night with your car?
You think he was involved in this?
I don't rule him out. Can you get the $5,000 in cash right away?
Not unless I tell Dad.
Borrow it back from Eddie Mars.
I might. How about telling the police?
That's a very good idea, but you won't do it.
Won't I?
You have to protect your father and your little sister. The cops might turn up something they couldn't sit on, though they try in blackmail cases.
Can you do anything?
I think I can, but I can't tell you how.
I like you. You believe in miracles. Would you have a drink in the office?
Sure.
I'll get the $5,000. I've been a good customer of Eddie Mars. Besides, we have something else in common. The lady Rusty ran off with was Eddie Mars' wife. Doesn't that interest you?
Cheers.
You're the hardest guy to get anything out of. You don't even move your ears.
Well, you've got what you want. A pretty good idea that I'm not looking for your husband.
Rusty was no crook. He always carried $15,000 cash on him. He called it his mad money. He wouldn't need to blackmail. I'll take the photo. She has a beautiful little body, hasn't she?
Uh-huh.
You ought to see mine.
Can it be arranged?
You're as cold-blooded as ever I met, Marlowe. Or can I call you Philip?
Sure.
You can call me Vivian.
Thanks, Mrs. Regan.
Oh, go to hell, Marlowe!
I didn't know just how close I wanted to get to her. Even being the chauffeur had proved terminal. By now, it was late afternoon. None of the early editions of the evening papers mentioned Geiger. I went back to his house. And who should I meet there but Carmen? She stood among all the fag junk and the stink of last night's filth, sucking her thumb. A pretty, spoiled, and not very bright little girl who had gone very, very wrong, and nobody was doing anything about it. To hell with the rich. They made me sick.
Hello.
What are you doing here? How much do you remember last night?
I was sick last night.
Like
at home.
Hell you were. You remember. Before I took you home. You remember spreading yourself in that chair.
Are you the police?
No. I'm a friend of your father's.
Oh. What do you want?
Who killed Geiger? You were here.
Who else knows?
I don't know. Whoever took the body. Joe Brody, maybe.
Joe Brody? Him?
Did Brody kill him?
Kill who?
Christ.
Yes, Joe did it.
Why?
I don't know.
Seen much of him lately?
I hate him.
Are you willing to tell the police it was Joe Brody if I can kill the nude photo angle? The photo's gone, if that's what you came back here for. Probably Brody took it with him.
I hate him.
Carmen, this is a spot for a little old-fashioned simplicity. You're not kidding me about Brody?
No.
Okay. You don't give it another thought. Don't tell a soul you were here, not even Vivian. Just leave it to Riley.
Your name isn't Riley. Vivian told me. I have to go home now.
Shh.
Oh. Excuse the casual entrance. Is Geiger around?
No, we don't know just where he is.
Huh? Your friends of his?
Business acquaintances. We drop by for a book.
A book, huh?
We'll trot along now.
Any message if Geiger comes back?
We won't bother you.
But you do, soldier. The girl can dust. I'd like to talk to you a little.
I don't think we've anything to talk about.
A kidder. I have two boys out in my car that always do just what I want them to. Goodbye, sister.
Oh, yes. Bye.
There's something wrong around here. I'm going to find out what it is, and if you want to pick lead out of your belly, you get in my way.
Well, well, a tough guy.
Only when necessary, soldier. Let's you and me look around. What's into the catter? That a lousy pimp. Huh. No plate in the camera. I get the picture. What's that?
A rug.
Move it.
Does the gun make you feel better?
I think we'll have some law.
It's old blood. Dried blood.
Just, when the hell are you, soldier?
Marlowe is the name. I'm a sleuth.
Never heard of you. Who was the girl?
A client. Geiger was trying a little blackmail. We came to talk it over. He wasn't here. The door was open.
Convenient.
Why would I have a key? Why do you have a key?
I own this house. Geiger's my tenant.
You know such lovely people.
I take them as they come. I think we'll have some law.
Go ahead. Call your friends downtown. Call the buttons. You'll get a big reaction from it.
I don't get your game here.
Maybe it just isn't your day. I know you. You're Eddie Mars. You run a club at Las Olindas, a flash gambling club for flash people. All through Prohibition, it was a nightclub, and there were two uniformed cops in the lobby every night to see that the guests didn't bring their own liquor instead of buying it from the house. Those good old days are gone, but the local law is still in your pocket with a well-greased line right into the city department. Protection. Geiger was in a racket which needed it, too. Maybe you spared him some, seeing he was your tenant.
Geiger was in what racket?
The smut book racket.
I didn't find him at the store today. I came up to see about it. I find blood, you, and the girl. I think that's the story. You got to him.
You missed something. All his rental books were moved out of the store today.
Yeah, you get around. I should have thought of that, soldier. How do you figure it?
Somebody got to him. I think that's his blood. But they want to move the books before we find him so they can take over the racket.
They can't get away with that.
Why not? This is a big town now, Eddie. Some very tough people have checked in here lately. The penalty of growth.
All right, let's go. Open the door.
Open it yourself, Eddie.
Have you forgotten, soldier? I have the gun.
Who the hell are you to give me orders? Stop pointing that thing at me and I might help you out.
All right, talk.
I'm not ready. But whoever moved the books knows what's what and I have a guess about that.
Who?
That's the part I'm not ready to give out. I have a client to protect. I expected you would know the girl.
No. Now, who got the books, Seamus?
Why should I tell you?
I might make it worth your while.
I can always hear the sound of money.
We're doing what?
What did you want done?
Now listen, soldier. I ask you a question and you ask me another. Now we're not getting anywhere. I've got my own reasons for wanting to find Geiger. I don't see any cops here, so either you don't know anything or you aren't telling them. I think you might need a little protection yourself.
You're right. If I knew anything, I'd have to tell the cops. So, I've nothing to sell. So, with your permission, I'll drift.
A kidder.
By the way, how is Mrs. Mars these days?
Beat it. I don't give a damn what you know or where you go or what you do when you get there. Only take a word of advice, soldier. You leave me out of your plans or you'll wish your name was Murphy and you lived in Limerick.
I hear you and she had a pal came from around there, name of Regan.
What?
It's all right. I'm on my way.
Agnes, what? Quick, get behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Are you Joe Brody?
So what?
I'm looking for Geiger.
You got the wrong place. I don't know him.
That's very fine.
Go peddle your sense of humor somewhere else.
Joe, you have the books from the back room, but I have a list of clients. We ought to talk.
Okay. Come in. No, hold it. Right there.
It wouldn't bother me to use this gun.
Such a lot of guys around this town with so few brains. You're the second today who seems to think a gat in the hand means the world by the tail. You all watch pictures too much. Put it away, Joe.
You just shut up and grab a little air while you're doing it, huh?
The other one was Eddie Mars. Ever hear of him?
No.
Well, if he finds out where you were in the rain last night, he'll wipe you off.
Well, what would I beat Eddie Mars?
Not even a memory.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm not tough. I'm just being careful. I don't know Hell's First Whisper about you. You might be a life taker. Now, what's your story?
First, tell your lady friend behind the curtains I can see her neat little toes.
Oh, come on out, Agnes.
The blonde from the bookstore. Ever read Ben-Hur?
I knew you were trouble. How did you know we moved the books here?
I followed the van. It was a dumb move.
Look, tell me about the list.
Put the gun away first.
Okay. Now, talk.
The list is in a code I haven't cracked yet. About 500 names. Say you have 500 smut books at $1 a rental. Mm-hmm. We could make over $100,000 in a year. Personally, I think the blackmail angles are a big mistake. People who want secondhand sex jags are a nervous class. I think we should stick to rentals.
You think Geiger ran that kind of business right out on the boulevard and I worked in it? You're crazy.
If a racket like that has to exist and Hollywood is made to order for it, then right out on the street is where all the practical cops want it, for the same reason they favor red light districts.
Joe, are you going to let this cheesehead insult
me? Will you pipe down, Agnes? Now, this guy has good ideas.
I'll give you another. You shot Geiger to get control.
You take chances, mister.
The trouble was, he wasn't alone when you walked in and whiffed him. So you lammed with the plate out of the camera, then came back to hide the body. That gave you time to take the books.
Look, I didn't kill him, mister.
You were made to order for the rap.
You can't frame me.
Remember the witness. She'll tell it whatever way I say.
God damn it, she would, too.
I see you know Carmen. Give me the negative, Joe.
Huh? I guess you think I'm dumb.
No, just average for a grifter.
Wait, Joe, who's that?
Just take it easy. Take it easy, I'll answer it.
I hate you, Carmen? Joe Brody.
Now, Carmen, paper crisis. Put the gun down, Carmen.
I want my pictures.
Carmen?
Give me my pictures.
Would you wait, Carmen?
I want my
Carmen?
Pictures.
Carmen. Carmen, remember me? I'm your friend. I'm a friend of your mother.
Carmen, give me the gun.
Keep her away from me.
I'll get your pictures for you, Carmen. I'm your friend. Just give me the gun.
I want my pictures.
Listen to me, Brody. Now be careful which pocket you put your hand in.
Here they are. Just keep her away from me.
You see? I told you I'd get them for you. Here they are. A present for you. I'll give them to you if you give me the gun.
I want my pictures.
Give me the gun. That's it. Here you are. You've got your pictures now. Now, why don't you just let me take care of everything for you? I'll look after all this. I'm your friend. Why don't you go home?
Home?
You go home and wait for me.
You'll take care of me?
Sure, I will.
You're cute.
What you see is nothing. I've got a Balinese dancing girl tattooed on my right thigh. Now, why don't you go home and wait for me?
I like you. I like you a lot.
Wait for me.
I'll go home. I'll wait. Don't be long.
Joe, are you okay?
She just grazed me. Would you just let me alone?
Oh, a half-smart guy. That's all I ever draw. Never once a guy that's smart all the way round the course.
Let's hear it all now, Joe. How did you come by the pictures?
Just take the air. I got enough chinning with you. Dust.
You are so dumb. Even if you don't dance off up at Quentin, you'll have such a bleak, long, lonely time ahead of you.
Well, you wouldn't go to the cops. Not if you're working for the Sternwoods.
I can't cover up two murders.
Two murders? What two murders?
Where were you last night?
I was watching Geiger's place. I wanted to know his connections. But all I see is it's a car up the street.
That was me.
And one down where I am. It was empty. A Buick registered to Vivian Regan.
You know where the Buick is now?
What?
It was lifted out of the sea with a dead man in it who had been sapped before the dive.
Well, you can't pin that on me.
Why not? The dead man was the chauffeur. He took the car without permission. Furthermore, he was sweet on Carmen and didn't like the games Geiger played with her. So he follows her, shoots Geiger, grabs the picture, and runs. You follow him. Now, what cop isn't going to believe you knocked him off and took the picture yourself?
No. I chased the guy, okay? He crashed the Buick on a corner. He hit his head, I swear, and knocked himself out. So I searched him. I found the plate. But then he wakened up and knocked me off the car and drove on, and that's all.
Where did you hide Geiger's body?
You think I'd go back there?
Well, somebody hit it.
Oh, God, is she back again?
Don't you have any other friends?
Well, maybe somebody called the cops.
Answer it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go.
Joe Brody?
Yeah?
And that was Brody, dead. By the time I got his body away from the door and got down the stairs to the front of the apartment house, the killer was away and running. A tall kid in a leather jerkin. He kept running, so he had no car. I drove around the block to get ahead of him, and when he appeared out of the darkness, I showed him Carmen's little gun and pushed him in behind the wheel of my car. It was Carl, the handsome boy from Geiger's store. You must have thought a lot of your queen, Carl.
What do you want?
What's it to be, me or the cops?
Is that a choice?
Put your gun over in the back seat, then we'll sit here and wait for the patrol car to pass. What's your full name?
Carl Lundgren.
Well, Carl, you shot the wrong guy. Joe Brody didn't kill your queen.
Who said he was?
You lived with him. He was like Caesar, a husband to women and a wife to men. Think I can't figure people like him and you out? Drive to Geiger's house. Just be quiet, Carl. You shouldn't have tried to take a swing at me. That's right, Carl. Feel what it's like. Just hold your breath till you can't hold it any longer. Then tell yourself you have to breathe. You're black in the face. Your eyeballs are popping out. You have to breathe. And you're sitting strapped in the clean little gas chamber. And when you take that breath, you're fighting with all your soul not to take it. And it won't be air you'll get. It'll be cyanide fumes. And that's what they call humane execution in our state now.
I loved him. He was mine. I came home and found him.
So you hid his body, then laid it out with black candles at his head and feet and promised him revenge.
Yes.
But you don't want to die, do you, Carl?
No.
Then you'd better cooperate. Plead guilty and tell your story just the way I want you to. Right?
Bernie Oles.
This is Marlowe. Did your boys find a revolver on the chauffeur this morning?
That would be police business.
If they did, it had three empty shells in it.
How the hell did you know that?
I can show you where the slugs went.
Look out the window. You'll see me coming around the corner. What's the address?
When Oles came, we all went to see his boss, the district attorney, Taggart Wild, who at first recommended me to General Sternwood. He was with a Captain Kronjager of the L.A. police. We told our stories, and Kronjager began to look very nasty.
I love private dicks that play murders close to the waistcoat. Let me ask Marlowe a question. I might take it that you did not report a murder last night and spent today foxing around so this kid could commit another murder this evening?
I guess I did wrong, but I wanted to protect my client.
Whoever that is.
I had no reason to think the boy would go gunning for Brody.
Such thinking is police business, Marlowe, so maybe Brody was living on borrowed time, but a life is a life.
Tell that to your coppers the next time they shoot down some scared crook running away up an alley with a stolen spare tire.
All right, that's enough of that. Now, what makes you so sure, Marlowe, the chauffeur shot Geiger?
He had the gun, the motive, and the opportunity.
What motive?
A nude photo of my client. Jealousy. He was in love with her. Afterwards, he committed suicide off the pier.
What have you left out, Marlowe?
My client is entitled to protection short of a grand jury. I suppose the word private has some meaning. You have the killers, the guns, and the motives. The blackmail angle has to be suppressed.
Sure. I'd be glad to stooge for a Seamus of your standing.
The grand jury might also want to know how Geiger ran a smut book racket out in the open and why the police allowed it to operate for their own reasons.
Grand juries do ask these embarrassing questions sometimes in a rather vain effort to find out just why cities are run as they are run.
Yeah, well, look, I'm one against three here. I'm a homicide man. Book's on my beat. I'll take my prisoner now.
He's running outside. Come with me.
Well, Marlowe, do you know why I'm not tearing your ear off?
I expected to get both ears torn off.
What are you getting for it all?
$25 a day in expenses.
What, just over $50 so far?
About that.
And for that, you're willing to get yourself in Dutch with half the law enforcement here.
Well, what the hell am I to do? It's against my principles to have told as much as I did tonight without consulting the general. Cops get very large and emphatic when an outsider tries to cover up. But they do the same themselves every day to oblige their friends or anybody with a little pull. I'm still on the case.
Yeah, providing Kronjager doesn't get your license. Look, Marlo, my father was a close friend of old Sternwood. I've done all I can to save him from grief. And we can save him from this one, provided you make a complete statement for the files. But in the long run, it can't be done. Not with those two daughters. Ah, they oughtn't to be running around loose. And I blame him for that. I guess he doesn't realize what the world is today. And there's another thing. I'll bet the general is afraid his runaway son-in-law that he was so fond of is mixed up in this somehow. And what he really hoped you would find out is that he isn't.
The general didn't ask me to find Regan or protect him.
Well, be careful, Marlowe.
Marlowe?
Yeah. Move away from my door.
The boss wants to talk to you.
What about?
What do you care? Just keep your nose clean and everything will be Jake.
I smell of policemen. I'm too tired to talk, too tired to eat, too tired to think. But if you think I'm not too tired to take orders from Eddie Mars, try getting your gat out before I shoot your ears off.
Nuts. You don't carry a gun.
I'm not always naked.
Okay, you win. I wasn't told to blast anybody. You'll hear from him.
Too late will be too soon.
Nuts.
He went away. I grinned at my own foolishness and went into my apartment. I cleaned the little gun I had taken from Carmen and put it away. Then made myself a drink. Yeah?
So you're tough tonight.
Big, fast, and full of prickles. What can I do for you, Mars?
The cops. Did you keep me out of it?
Why should I?
Look, I'm nice to be nice to, soldier. I'm not nice not to be nice to.
Can you hear my teeth chattering?
Did you keep me out of it?
I guess it was complicated enough without you.
Well, thanks, soldier. Someday I may be able to do you a favor.
Hang up and let me go to bed.
You're looking for Rusty Regan, aren't you?
A lot of people seem to think so, but I'm not.
Well, if you were, I could give you an idea. Drop in and see me, soldier. Anytime.
I had one other thing to do. I called the Sternwood house and left a message that everything was all right. And then I went to bed. All the morning papers had accounts. Captain Kronjager got the credit for solving both murders. The Sternwoods weren't mentioned, nor was I. I went down to missing persons and discovered the general had asked them to look into Regan's disappearance. But they were dead on their feet on it. They told me nothing I couldn't have guessed. A gray sedan tailed me away from City Hall. I shook it off and went about my business, which was to come back to the office and catch up on my foot dangling. I didn't try to contact Mrs. Regan. I'd had a bellyful of the Sternwood family. I had a call from a secretary saying the general might feel well enough tomorrow to thank me in person and that a check for $500 was in the post. I got out the office bottle and took a drink. I should have been happy. Regan. Rusty had certainly skipped with Eddie Mars' wife, but Mars was too much of a businessman to get involved in murder out of jealousy. It might have annoyed him, but you have to hold your teeth clamped around Hollywood to keep from chewing on stray blondes. The smart thing for me to do was to take another drink and forget the whole mess. That being the obviously smart thing to do, I called Eddie Mars and told him I was coming down to his club in Los Alindes that evening. That was how smart I was.